everybody, and welcome to The Bachelor Presents Listen to Your Heart Wrap Up. I'm Amy, here as always with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to talk about this show. That's a few words I never thought would come out of my mouth.
Right?
God, I had a great time watching last night.
Nice. We started to see a little more what the show is going to be. It totally shifted on us.
Yeah, and it didn't feel like 2 hours.
Yeah. Which was nice. It was felt like almost like two separate shows. Like it had the first hour as one thing, second hour was one thing. But it was a little thrown for a loop that it was, I guess we clarified last week that there were no new couples, but we didn't really know how it was going to proceed. But now we really got into the music side of things. So you were happy with this change of format?
Yeah, I felt like we kind of finally got an idea of what this is going to be. Mm-hmm. And I didn't hate it.
Yeah, and we got rid of some people. Some dead air time that we didn't need.
Yeah, so we started off the episode by Chris Harrison coming in and saying, hey, like, this isn't just about music. It's about love. And if you're not serious about the person you're with, like, hightail it out of here, my friends. This is something we often see at the very end of Bachelor in Paradise. It's like, are you serious? And this coming in like 2 weeks. So we're like, oh my God. So
like how much in real time was it? Like 5 days?
Yeah, if that. So I'm a little disappointed in that. I would have liked to be able to see, you know, some of the couples switch it up a bit more, mm-hmm. have these people kind of be like, I don't know, just be around for a little bit. I get why they're doing this. It's like, I'm not heartbroken, but we aren't getting any new people like throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah, so that's what struck me as weird is that like, okay, I get that they want to get rid of people, but don't you want some kind of like people to throw a wrench into things a little bit more? Create a little more love triangles or mix up pairings more. Maybe they think that with the couples they have, it'll still happen. So that's the one thing that I was kind of surprised by, that they wanted to get rid of like the uneven balance so quickly.
Yeah. So I would have liked to see a little bit more in that we did, like you said, we did see a couple people leave. We saw Gabe and
Gabe suddenly had a story, and then as soon as that
welcome to the show, Gabe.
Yeah, as soon as it developed, he was gone.
So he's only interested. He said he was only interested in Savannah, regardless of the fact that he gave his rose to Lucy last week.
He went after Ruby.
Oh my God, why did I say Lucy? I don't know. Anyway, so he was only into Savannah, and Savannah was kind of reeling from Brandon and Julia's weird thing. That's not a thing anymore. So she was kind of emotionally distraught, and then she got more emotionally distraught. Mm-hmm. And then Gabe left, and then so did Ruby. And then were those the only two people who left at this point?
Yeah, we saw Savannah saying she was going to leave, but definitely people were keeping her around. Like she was just threatening, or they weren't letting her leave if she really wanted to, because she didn't, she could have left. Right. So we see her like sitting on the patio. But what was kind of strange to me is that she was so upset about what Julia told her. So basically they show a clip, they flash back to right after the rose ceremony, and it's Brandon telling Julia like, oh, I knew you were going to get picked. He was going to pick you anyway. So like, we can still continue this. And did you think Julia spun it at all when she was telling Savannah about how that conversation went down? Or do you think Brandon really was like saying he was kind of switching or pursuing her equally?
So for as much BS that I think Julia spewed throughout this entire episode, mm-hmm. I don't think that this was a part of that. I genuinely do think Brandon was like giving her false hopes. She might have been embellishing that. Mm-hmm. But I do think Brandon was saying, like, we saw him say, like, oh, like, we'll give this another try, or glad you're here still, or something like that.
Right, right. Yeah, he kind of had to explain himself because she thought he was going to pick her. But he wasn't, like, saying he was done with Savannah by any means. But Savannah was really caught off guard that he even had anything going on with Julia. So
which I totally get.
Yeah, definitely. So what was strange to me is that in no point in this was she talking to Brandon. So I don't know if he was tied up with something else, but eventually he does show up, and that was kind of a strange conversation, but they did decide to stay together. What did you think of how he reassured her that he was into her?
I don't even remember what he said. Like, he's such bullshit that, like, I can't even listen to him.
Right.
I don't trust what he says. I like Savannah. I really do.
I want better for Savannah. I just got the sense he was kind of like, yeah, well, I didn't even know Julia was still into me and that I was blindsided by that.
No, that's bullshit. That's BS. That's so, so dumb. She's going to watch the show back and be like, oh, this guy is such a skeeze.
Right. But they decide to pair up. So everybody, what Chris announces is that, I guess he doesn't tell them before, so they don't know what's at stake. So do you think Gabe is regretting once he finds out that the stakes, once they pair up, is that they will be judged each week with celebrity and Bachelor Nation celebrity guests, and the judges will determine who is eliminated, and then eventually one couple will win based on not just singing ability, but their connection, and they will get to work with a producer, create original music, and even go on tour. So some kind of good.
Something tells me that tour is going to be canceled.
I was wondering, do you think they would have gotten to join the Bachelor Live on Stage tour? Was that the tour that they were going to go on?
No, but they probably would have joined at some point for sure.
I mean, it's like a tour with an asterisk. What is this tour they're going on? But yeah, I think it's interesting because seems like several of them probably stuck around just because they wanted to stay on the show. And now that they know kind of what's at stake, I don't think any of them are going to leave because they're not in love anymore or not. They don't see a future. What do you think?
Which couple are you talking about there, Amy?
Well, it could be a few, but yeah.
Okay, on a count of 3, 2, 1, we're both going to say it.
All right.
Three, two, one.
Julia and Sasha. Oh, I was saying Julian Sheridan. yeah, definitely Ryan and Natasha too.
But at least that's like a mutual, like, let's just fake this for a little bit.
Right.
Where Julian Sheridan's just feels like one-sided. Unbalanced.
Right. Yeah. Maybe Sheridan would just walk off because seems to be there for the right reasons.
Yeah.
He got caught up in it. Yeah, so let's talk about some of the couples that remain, since we only lost Gabe and Ruby. Poor Ruby she basically said, like, I feel like I didn't get a fair shot, which, true, you know, she came in late and stuck around.
What was the point of those people even coming in late then?
I know. Why? Like, Natasha had a reason to come in late, but the other two I think it was just insurance policy for the producers, like, okay, if somebody's a total dud, maybe this will mix things up, and they need someone to keep Ryan around since Jamie went with Trevor. So yeah, so let's see, who do we have? We have Sheridan and Julia, the two couples we mentioned. Ryan and Natasha decide to stay together, and we have
Jamie and Trevor.
Jamie and Trevor, the obvious one. Chris and Bree, another obvious one.
Savannah and Brandon.
And Danny and Becca. Is that everybody?
Welcome to the show, Danny and Becca.
Yes. Again, similar to Gabe. Like, we are introduced to him and then we say goodbye to them later on. That kind of, they do get a date card, so they get a little more airtime, but I felt there was no suspense, you know, skipping ahead to like who would probably get eliminated based on.
Yeah, I completely agree with you.
Yeah. Who have we not seen? So, apparently they're going to compete until they're down to one couple. So let's see, how many couples total is that? Did we miss anybody? Is that 6 couples?
I think so.
Okay. So we have 3 weeks left apparently. So we must have some double eliminations on the way, or maybe people self-eliminate.
So if we lost somebody this week, this is week 3.
Okay.
We lose one team next week, and then we're down to 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then in the finale, it'll be 3 couples. I think that makes sense.
Oh, that
I think
that'll sense. Work out. Yeah. I feel like we could already probably guess who the three at the end will be, but maybe not. I don't maybe know. Like, are they going to eliminate the ones who are
dramatic,
more dramatic, or the ones that are like, are they going to get rid of Chris and Brie? Cause it's just like, oh, they're cute, but like, they're not exciting. Or are they like, oh no, this is like a true story. So we want to find out about that. So who knows? I have my suspicions about whether these judges had anything to do with who was eliminated as well, but yeah. So, let's see. We have, so Chris Harrison comes back, kind of tells them what they're competing for, and everyone was really excited. And Natasha and Ryan, speaking of them, she does say that they have the best connection musically. So there's something there, right?
What does that even mean?
Is it that they're both connected to getting that music deal at the end?
Yeah, I would guess. Also, she look like this looks like a couple where Ryan graduated high school this past summer and he turned 18 and he can finally start dating his friend's mom.
Maybe they'll get like a Stacey's mom as one of their songs to sing later
on. Yeah.
Who chooses these songs for them? They were assigned to them too, so.
I also found out this week that Natasha was on a show called The Next Pussycat Doll or something like that. The Next Doll.
Okay.
To join the Pussycat Dolls.
Interesting. So overlapping with Masked Singer. Some Masked Singer overlap there.
And she was on The Voice Holland. I can't remember if we talked about that last week or not.
I don't remember. I think we might have.
I don't remember either. It's been a long week somehow.
Well, because we got the question about who, like the Wikipedia entries, and she was one of the ones.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
Okay. Well, why aren't they touting that? Like they were touting Trevor being on American Idol. Do they not get the rights to mention The Voice Holland?
I guess not. I guess there's not that many Dutch watchers.
You have to be from, so you don't have to be from Holland to be on the Dutch Holland, or does she have dual citizenship?
I think based on what she was saying about her background, how she's half Brazilian, half French. That makes me wonder if you have, from what I understand about French citizenship, which granted is not the most, if you have a parent who was born in France, you can get a French passport.
Oh, wow.
And because France is in the EU, I wonder if anyone in the EU can apply for shows like The Voice.
Oh, right. Yeah. Or you just have to be living there for a little bit or something. Yeah.
So that's my best guess-a-roony.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Although I think there is a Voice France, so I don't know why you wouldn't go for that, but.
Yeah. Maybe if she doesn't really speak French. And if
but you think she's more likely to speak Dutch than French?
I don't know. But they're probably singing a lot of songs in English, right? So it doesn't really matter. But then the judges would have to.
Maybe the show is in English. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that could be.
I don't know. I only watched the singing part of the clip. I didn't really listen to the talking part of the clip. My Dutch is no bueno, as they would say.
Does she have a totally different look, or does she look like how she looks now?
I think she looks how she looks. I've been trying to keep up on my Duolingo last month. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good goal to have. Well,
I've been doing French and Spanish.
Nice.
So sometimes it gets a little mixed up in my little brain there because they're similar.
Right. Yeah. I've thought about doing it, but I haven't done it yet. I have it downloaded. I can always restart at some point, but yeah.
Yeah. I recently figured out that I can do it on desktop, which I find easier for me than trying to do it on my phone for whatever reason. I know that's not the case for everyone, but I do like the desktop version.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be easier to multitask. Like kind of have it up, or does it take up everything?
No. Well, it's just like a web browser.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. So we have everyone kind of practicing. They get assigned their songs, and then we have a lot of scenes of Julia just crying, complaining to people. So her big complaint, she says, is just like that once Savannah and Brandon got back together, they went from 0 to 100 so fast. And apparently she talks to Jamie over by the literal water cooler. They're making their tea and saying, like, you know, she talks about how slow it takes her and like this process isn't working for her because she needs more time. but then they went from 0 to 100 and it's just so disingenuous. And, you know, that's really what's bothering her. And she's just can't even focus on practicing.
She so then she pulls over Savannah to have a little comberoonie. Mm-hmm. And she just lays it on her and saying, like, I think you're being really disingenuous and we can all see how fake you are and blah, blah, blah. And Savannah, I think, handled it pretty beautifully compared to what she could have. She didn't raise her voice. She was just like, you don't know me. You don't know my relationship. You don't know the conversations we've had. So I feel like maybe, I don't know, you're the one being kind of fake and disingenuous right now. Yeah. And then Julia's like, I feel like I'm the one who's been attacked in this conversation.
That was the best. I actually feel I'm being attacked here because I don't have feelings for Brandon anymore. And
Sure. Yeah, I believe that 100%.
She thought that by Savannah just saying, like, okay, why are you so interested in what's going on with me? Why is it affecting you? That was an attack.
Which is a great point. Great point by Savannah.
So reasonable.
I mean, nothing but excellent points. She's like, why do you care? And also, this is not the conversation to have with Savannah. If you're upset, have this conversation with Brandon.
Yeah, what does Savannah have to do with this?
It's nothing. Like she's just like there. I'm so sick of women blaming other women instead of blaming the shitty men that they've attached themselves to.
Mm-hmm. And then also it was like, I can't believe she's being so fake just to get ahead. And then she had already said that she was done with Sheridan, or like her. She only, I don't know if she necessarily like said done with Sheridan, but just that she was so focused on Brandon and that's all she cared about him. And then she goes with Sheridan and stays a couple. Like, they're doing their duet together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You think you're going to end up with Sheridan at the end of this? Give your head a damn shake, my friend.
Yes. Then let's talk about the two different dates that we had. So Danny and Becca, we actually got to see them get a date card, contrast to the other one.
Awkward.
So awkward. Although, in terms of a date, if you're going to get a date in the house, this was actually like a higher budget date. This seemed like enjoyable if you're a contestant, but yeah, they didn't really seize the opportunity to get closer. Becca tells us that they kissed the first night, which we didn't see anything because we didn't see them at all. So she was excited to get a date with him because they need more time. Yet when he tried to kiss her in the hot tub at this mansion, she like pushed him away basically.
Oh, it was all very just uncomfort-rooney.
Do you remember who the designer was, because there were all these designer clothes out and they got to pick them out. They had a little mini photo shoot. Like it's
Becca?
Minkoff? Yeah, something like that.
I feel like Rebecca Minkoff sounds familiar to me, and this woman did not sound familiar to me. Let me look in this recap I have up to see if it tells me.
Oh, somebody. Somebody that, yeah, they Becca claimed to know.
Rebecca Mink.
Rebecca Mink. Okay, so I don't know that they got to keep the clothes, though.
Well, wasn't Becca wearing her picked out outfit to the performance?
Oh, was it? Okay.
I believe so.
She did get to keep one thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't like the whole shopping spree that you get on The Bachelor. But
I think they got an outfit.
Yeah. Okay. That's nice. So, yeah, they had a pool at this house. A lot of just rented spaces that they're doing for these dates. But yeah, no real chemistry there, but they were kind of in denial about it seemed like, or Danny was.
Yeah.
We do have an answer to his celebrity impersonator. I did find his YouTube videos. I sent you a link to one of them.
I hated watching it.
Yeah. So it's not like he goes around and is hired at like venues to impersonate a certain celebrity or anything. But he does like singing videos on YouTube with a friend.
He sings a SpongeBob.
Right. Or Elmo. Or like little snippets. It's kind of like an improv type thing. But he has a lot of followers, like over 1 million on YouTube. So
good on him.
Yeah. And let's see. The other date. This was weird because we just see Ryan and Natasha walking into a venue. And we don't even see them get the date card. But they are going to the House of Blues. And Chris Lane and Lauren Lane, a.k.a. Lauren from Ben's season, were there. And they got to have a private concert kind of thing. Or not private concert, but they got to perform on stage with him at the concert.
So yes, this guy is like a bachelor. Like he has been the nameless country singer on a couple seasons, I believe.
At least one, I think.
Yeah. So.
But now he's like not nameless. He's
are they
big time?
Like, do you think it hurt them to admit that like one of their relationships didn't work out for The Bachelor?
I don't know. I mean, Lauren was really in the background of this. It seemed like she was kind of like, I don't really want to be on screen here. or didn't really want to like act like she was part of the Bachelor Nation.
But yeah.
I feel like it's more like she wants to be above it or like not nod to it because it's like, that's not her husband. You know, her husband is not from that. And it would be kind of like, yeah, well, we didn't work out. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they would care that much because it's like, hey, she's with this famous country singer. And
yeah,
now, yeah, she's well known.
Have you, could you name one Chris Lane song? Could you name,
I can name one?
Is it the one that was on TV?
Yes, because I thought it was funny too, because it was like the only song they showed playing. Is the one that she's in the music video. It's how he proposed to her. He wrote the song and debuted it for her. And that's really the only one I know. Like, I know he has like a famous one, but I don't know what it is.
But I don't either.
I know.
And like, I'm fine with country music. I don't hate country music. If it comes to me, I'm fine with it.
Right.
I don't often seek it out.
Yeah. My problem is like, there's about like 10 different male country stars that I confuse. And when I listen to their music, I wouldn't know, like, is this Chris Lane? Is this Sam Hunt? Is this, you know, Thomas Rhett? I don't know. So,
I know you want to hear a fun fact about me?
Yeah.
The band I've seen most in concert is Florida Georgia Line.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my
God. They put on a good show.
That's so cool.
I think I've seen them, oh my God, like 3 or 4 times.
Oh my God, they make their way, like, do they come like really close to where you live or like they come to Niagara? Or do you travel to them?
Maybe it's been 3 times. So I saw them once in Hamilton.
Hmm.
And then they played at Darien Lake, which is an amusement park, like probably about an hour away from us.
It's like Chase Rice in the Date with Victoria.
Yeah. I think a couple of years ago, they were touring with Nelly.
Hmm.
So we really wanted to go see Nelly and Florida Georgia Line, so we went to that. Yeah.
But I guess that makes sense, like, if it's something that you're like, oh, they had a really good show, I wasn't expecting that, and then you'll see them come around again, you're like, more likely to go to that than a new one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, like, the tickets aren't, like, crazy expensive, so.
Yeah. That's funny. My thought as to why they didn't show the date card is there was a date card that was, like, come along to Lover's Lane, or like it had some like reference that nobody got or something.
Right.
And, or like Jamie, I think she's a Bachelor fan, was like, oh my gosh, it's with Lauren and Chris Lane. And nobody like
knew who it was.
Tasha had no reaction. So they couldn't really show that or something.
Interesting theory. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't even notice that they didn't have a date card, but it, like, I thought when they went to House of Blues, that was their practice studio.
Right.
And was super confused when no one else showed up later.
Yeah. Do you think they offered Chris Lane an opportunity to be a guest judge? And he was like, no, I don't want to sit through all this, but I will do like a date instead.
Ooh, interesting.
But they got some pretty good names for their judges. So
no. Yeah. Like, no. Like, you think Chris Lane is going to say no to that, but Kesha is? I don't think so.
No, that's true.
Maybe they're not asking Chris Lane to do that.
Yeah. And I guess they couldn't have Lauren there as one of the, like, Batch Nation royalty. They have to have actual couples for the judges for that. So they had to get creative here.
I guess so. Bringing, like, Caitlin and Jason.
Yeah. I guess Caitlin sings. I don't know. Yeah, they don't have, well, yeah, JoJo and Jordan don't have any like ties to music at all, right? So
no.
Yeah, but as Chris mentioned, of course we have to have bachelor couples, bachelor royalty, because they will judge, you know, your chemistry.
Because they know what love is.
They know what love is. Yeah. And then we do see their rehearsal space, which seems like it's a barn in the back of the mansion. Maybe it's not on the mansion property, but seems like they didn't have to go that far.
Yeah.
Because I think we see Jamie like leave rehearsal and she's so upset. And then suddenly she's in the halls of the mansion. Maybe they just put that up and it wasn't there before. They just like
We have a question. Not a question, but like a statement come up later. So I think, like, kind of talking about the location of this filming. So I think it is possible that they could have a spot on campus.
Okay.
Where they would do this.
Nice. All right. So Jamie gets very nervous at the rehearsal. So as I said, she ran off. What did you think of Jamie and Trevor this episode as they were preparing?
I don't know. Like, I feel nothing for them. The only moment I've liked Trevor so far in the first three episodes was in the little ending clip where, you know, everyone did.
Same. Yeah.
They were all doing their, like, vocal warm-ups. And he's like, well, like, I'm not a professionally trained singer, so, like, I don't really have anything. And then he shows, like, this whole compilation. He's like, this is what I do to warm up. Picks up a beer, sips the beer, puts it down. He's like, I'm warmed up. Like, I thought that was very funny, that and I had really a great time watching that. And that was the only likable moment he has had so far.
So true. So true. Yeah, Jamie just seems like she got really worked up. I think maybe she was nervous because the celeb judges, or just, you know, they didn't get to pick out their songs. It was like assigned to them, although they seemed to get one that really suited them. I feel like this is another way producers can sabotage. Like, Julian Sheridan's song, like, didn't seem to fit them at all. It seems a lot harder to get, like, a Backstreet Boys song and try to make that, like, singer-songwritery than to take a Maren Morris song.
And it seems like they must have some sort of deal with Maren Morris that they can just use her entire catalog.
True. Yeah, I guess they just called in favors, and, like, if people could decide, like, yeah, I want to be featured, or no, I don't want to be featured. So that is interesting. Who, and she also is, like, a doppelganger for one of our celeb judges, JoJo. So JoJo and Jordan were the couple, the representative. And then we have Jason Mraz and Kesha. So how excited were you about this trio, or I guess four people, but these judges?
JoJo, I like. Jordan, I could leave behind. Jason Mraz, welcome back, I guess. I don't know. We haven't. It's like 2004. Kesha, I always love. Kesha, thank you for gracing us with your presence. Her song, Raising Hell, last year, one of my favorite songs of 2019.
Oh, nice.
Great song.
Yeah, I thought, like, this was pretty impressive of a panel, I thought, just for, like, this show that, compared to what we see on some of these other judges for competitions on The Bachelor, seemed like it was maybe a notch up in terms of name recognition.
Are you surprised Fred Willard wasn't there?
Right, like, why aren't we getting Fred Willard? Why aren't we getting the no-name country singers that we don't know? Like, it just seemed like that seemed more like what we might get. So I did appreciate that. It did seem like they maybe cut to the exact same image of Jason Mraz, like, flinching for a few different performances. I don't think he was doing that for everyone. And they also didn't seem like they were, like, going to go really hard on these contestants. It was kind of like, okay, if you say, like, yeah, one of you is more the star or something like that, would maybe be, or, you know, I'm not sure, you're still getting to know each other, was a good line of Jason Mraz. But yeah, all in all, it was a good panel. So let's talk about, we haven't really talked about Rudy and Matt at all, but they decided, that's the couple we forgot.
Oh, yes, we totally forgot them, right.
On the list of all the couples. So were there seven? I don't know. I haven't actually, like, listed them all out until this part of my notes. So we have Rudy and Matt, Bree and Chris, Becca, Danny, Brandon, Savannah, Sheridan, Julia, Natasha, Ryan, Jamie, Trevor. So it is seven. Yeah, so more than I thought. Okay, I guess that doesn't speak that well of them, that they're forgettable, but they haven't had a date. I think they'll get a date card next week. But I like their performance. What do you think?
I like them, and I do think... what's his name?
Matt.
I think Matt brings a nice balance to Rudy. I'm glad that she was able to kind of understand that what she said was, like, not, like, the coolest, and he was able to be like, you know what? Let's move past this. We're fine.
Yeah. It was the first night they're getting drunk.
And I do think they have chemistry. Yeah. Where some of these couples, like, just do not. Like, I think they do. Mm-hmm. I think they're both very good singers, and I think that them together is pretty good. Mm-hmm. I can't say that for most of the couples. Like, I feel like everyone's a decent singer, but they don't always sound great together, and I don't think Matt and Rudy really have that problem. Mm-hmm. They sang a song.
Fallen All in You by Shawn Mendes. Was this the one you're familiar with? Sounded familiar to me, but I didn't.
The chorus did sound familiar to me, but like I don't know.
Yeah, and this was the chorus that was shown in all the promos too. So I was like, is that why it sounds familiar to me? Or
Shawn Mendes, somebody I've seen in concert.
Oh yeah,
he Canadian, opened for he opened for Taylor Swift on one of her legs.
And then, isn't he Shawn Mendes who like Chris Lane was like, I thought it was Shawn Mendes walking in here. Like, is he a lookalike for? Mm-hmm. Ryan.
Yeah, I was wondering if they're going to force him to do it.
I could see him being a guest judge too. Seems like. Yeah. Yeah, so this is one where they, I don't know, was it kind of mixed reviews? Like they were sort of solid, but as far as, I think it was just their chemistry got the line from Jason Mraz. Oh, it seems like you're still getting to know each other, which is kind of like, yeah, we are. But yeah, I like them together. Then we had Beyond by Leon Bridges for Brie and Chris. And this one really got the judges really excited, or especially JoJo and Jordan. Was it like, this is the most beautiful, genuine thing I've ever seen, she said.
Okay, sure. yeah, I think it's just because he stared at her the entire time. Mm-hmm. Chris by far the most talented singer on the show.
He's really good, yeah.
And I think he has that working in his favor. Mm-hmm. And I think Brie is like, you know what? I will stick around for this.
Yeah, she's definitely the weaker in that group. Where a lot of these couples, I feel like it was the woman who was the star or the kind of the power voice. Whereas he has that really soulful voice and was perfect on this song. And then one thing I was wondering, did it seem fair that certain couples were able to like answer question about like their love? Because if they're judging based on a performance, but then Brie can be like, yeah, like I'm really falling in love with him.
I wonder if like everyone kind of got to say something. I thought you were going to say, is it fair for some couples to have to stand and some couples to have to sit?
Yeah. Did they just decide that? Or is
I don't know.
Yeah. I know the chairs like, looked really appealing for me. Like,
I loved sitting.
Yeah. That would be like a good choice, I think. Some of the dresses that they were in, I don't think they could sit in. Like Breeze.
Yeah. Good point.
But yeah, the next one we had Becca and Danny. They sang Oh Hey by the Lumineers. Not really like a romantic song, I don't think. Like, it's just kind of a sing along, like, get the crowd clapping, snapping their fingers kind of song, but this was really awkward.
It was so awkward. Oh god, it was like nightmarishly awkward, and he like tried to kiss her beforehand and afterhand, and it was just not great. Oh, I hated it.
Yeah. Did she just want out from the show, out from, like, they stuck around, so they why not just play along? Like,
I don't know.
Oh, strange.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He seems like a decently nice guy, but he just kind of, I don't know. He weirds me out a bit.
I thought he reminds me of Dylan, but like Dylan from Hannah and Dylan. Just like really smiley. Yeah,
totally.
Kind of like you don't really know what his personality is. But yeah, it was just like him, like, they're both sitting and he kept like reaching his hand over, but she was kind of not reciprocating anything. And then they kissed again in front of the judges and it was like a little peck. Then he went in for a second one. They got called out on it. Like, she rejected the second kiss.
You don't want to be here.
Yeah. So I think this was the one where they were like, it's more kind of brother sister-y. So that was definitely the kiss of death for this couple.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Brandon and Savannah. They also had some harsh criticism. They did I Want You to Want Me by Cheap Trick.
This felt like an unfair song.
Yeah.
Because the song itself is so up-tempo, and they slowed it down or had to slow it down, whatever. It just didn't really, it just didn't really vibe. And
no. I thought Brandon sounded like Adam Sandler singing. Like, just his voice, like, did not sound good to me.
Yeah, no, if Chris is the best singer on the cast, I think Brandon might be the least great singer. Mm-hmm. My favorite part of their song was when JoJo leans over to Jordan and whispers, "Do you think she likes him?" And he says, "No."
Oh, so funny. Yeah. And I think that was just kind of like based on just first like impressions, like, yeah, she looks too good for him, right? Like, I don't think she really likes him.
And then during this performance, Julia was like, they seem so fake.
She was living for their criticism. She was like gesturing at them, nodding along. And yeah, so funny. She felt so validated. So yeah, they got some tough criticism as well, kind of more about their connection. So they were, I guess, the other couple that was in danger based on the judges, from what we could surmise. And then we have Sheridan and Julia right after, of course, back to back. And they got "As Long As You Love Me" from Backstreet Boys. Jordan Rogers was really into this one. Just standing up, waving his arms.
Yeah, that was interesting. I thought they were pretty good. They sounded good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do sound good. I thought it was funny. It was kind of like, kind of similar to when they had their date, Sheridan just looking, gazing at her lovingly. And then she kind of like kept turning away, looking at the audience. Although I think Brie and Chris Brie was doing that with Chris too. And Jason Mraz was like, yeah, were you into the audience or were you into him?
What? Like, you're performing. Right. Are you supposed to look at the other person the entire time? I don't think that's how that works.
Yeah. On the show, you got to just...
I thought it was weird when people are staring at their partner the entire time.
Right. Yeah, you have a point. But, you know, you got to show this chemistry somehow. Yeah, but they got some good compliments, like, that they were, like, they say... Trisha and Garth, Kenny and Dolly. So some classic duos from country music. And then was it right after? I think she did some kind of like evil laugh about like, oh, Savannah. Like, yeah, the judges saw right through her. Ha ha. Or whatever.
Oh my God. I'm so annoyed.
Yeah. Hey, we have a villain. At least there's someone.
I guess.
To root against, right? Then we have Natasha and Ryan. They did "Stay" by Rihanna. I felt like Natasha looked like a totally different person. Like, she kind of changed her look she went brunette this. And she did an entrance. She walked on separately.
I think her hair does what my, which is when my hair is down, it looks blonde. And when my hair is up, I'm more of a brunette because I don't take the time to do my like under roots. It's just like I focus on top, I guess.
Yeah, because she had like an extension ponytail, so like the only thing that was brunette showing too was just like, yeah, that's probably right.
For me, they gave the best performance. Mm-hmm. And like they had the most performance chemistry, but I wouldn't say that I don't really believe their chemistry. Like, I think they are performing, which is fine. That's what this show is, in my opinion. Yeah, like, I think Natasha's doing a great job at.
Well, and if they keep
knowing that
to be...
Ryan is the guy who she had, like, if she hops on that bandwagon, she's going to be able to like show herself off a little bit more, and that's whatever.
Right. Which it seems like, you know, he seems way more like a soloist too, like the John Mayer type. But if they're going for that, like, obviously they're going for that Star Is Born thing, and so it kind of fits. Like, she has this big, powerful voice, and he's more like the singer-songwriter-y, so it's kind of like Gaga, Bradley Cooper, where she was like the way stronger, you know, on the song. But you wouldn't necessarily think of pairing them together. So I could see them, like, they'll definitely be in the finale, right? Even though I don't think that they're in love.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But yeah, people were excited about that one. So I thought it was interesting. Jason Mraz said something to... just know that she could really take off. Like, he was kind of dissing Ryan, like, you know, like, if you're a pair, like, she's gonna be the star, and you know, you're just gonna have to support her. So I think if he stuck with Jamie, if there was no Trevor in the picture, they'd be saying like maybe the opposite. But
well, and I just don't feel like that their vocal styles match up
no
in a super great way.
Right, right. Then Jamie and Trevor had I Could Use a Love Song from Maren Morris. I was impressed with her ability to do these, like, what was that move that she was doing in her warm-up? Like, jumping down, jumping back up? I don't even know what it's called. Like,
I don't know either.
I couldn't do it if I tried. Yeah.
Sign me out.
Is she doing burpees? Like, what was
that? Oh, God. Burpee, I hate burpees. Mm-hmm. I cannot. No, I will neither. Not. Cannot.
I thought they did well, and they got really good reviews. Then Jamie had this monologue after, which reminded me of, like, every single... Do you watch Masked Singer?
No.
It's, like, every clue package of every female contestant is, like, I am just so insecure, and this show has really built me back up, and I was just staying alone in my room. And so it's, like, every... seems like there's at least one every season that has that as their clue package, so it doesn't help you understand who it is, because it's always like, this has really built my confidence up, I didn't know that I could perform. And she kind of had the same thing, like, the show has, you know, or he makes me feel, I don't know if it was she was giving credit to him or not, but
to be fair, she is like 12 and a half, and she probably hasn't had enough time to build up her confidence.
Yeah, she's only been in her room singing because she just, like, got out of her parents' house and moved to Nashville. And yeah, I think that's a lot of like what her nerves were, is that she really is not experienced singing in terms of, like, in these big venues, or, like, mixing, like, the arrangements around, or trying to, yeah, perform in front of anyone, like, notable, probably. So, whereas Trevor has been on American Idol, so, like, he doesn't have those nerves, and a lot of what she was nervous about seemed like, I don't want to, like, mess it up for him, and so that was too bad to see. So I'm glad that at least this helped her gain confidence in that way. But again, I felt like a little unfair that she got to go on this rant, but maybe other people did. But
yeah,
at the same time, it's a smart move to do that. Like, I think other couples should take note for the next time to, like, make sure that you say something meaningful at the end of your performance about your partner, about yourself. And I think you'll stick around a little more likely anyway. So then we move to the rose ceremony. So there's nothing after these performances that, like, the judges don't, like, deliberate. We don't see any of that. I would have liked a little involvement from them. I get why they wouldn't, because they want to have the rose ceremony back at the house. But we just have to take their word for it that Chris Harrison, that they, it's all up to the judges, but Chris Harrison is the messenger. And they get back to the mansion, and he, very odd, like, he does the rose ceremony. He calls the names like a bachelor would.
It was so weird.
Yeah. But then they have to ask each other, do you accept this rose? Then the other person says, do you accept this rose? Really weird.
So weird.
Why do we need all those steps? I guess they're just figuring out the kinks of the show, right? Like, maybe if they have another season, they'll be like, yeah, maybe we should let people stick around a little longer or bring in more new people. But they're just figuring it out as they go. So then, let's see, he calls out their names. It's Jamie and Trevor, then Natasha, Ryan, Matt and Rudy, Chris and Bree, Julianne Sheridan, and they're all, like, in that other room debating, like, who's gonna be next. And then we see Savannah and Brandon were the last ones called. So Becca and Danny were sent home, kind of uneventful, and, you know, no surprise there.
Nope, none whatsoever.
Yeah. And then we had that little clip of the vocal exercise, which was very funny. So I'm glad that they brought that back in to have some kind of fun thing at the end. But let's get into questions. So Justin Feinberg wants to know, how often do Haley and Ethan remind themselves that love comes first, music comes later? Is this a common thing musically inclined couples tell themselves, or is Chris Harrison pulling fortune cookie-esque phrases out of his ass again?
As not a musically inclined couple, I cannot tell you. I do follow
love
every
comes first, TV comes later?
Pardon?
Love comes first, TV comes later?
TV comes first, my friend. I do finish every episode of Listen to Your Heart, and then I put on Believe by Cher, and then I do a beautiful performance of that in my living room to Ethan while he stares at his phone and pretend it's not happening.
Whatever also, gets you through.
Yeah, exactly. It's not getting us through somehow. Thank you to Justin for putting up this week's question thread. Yes. I forgot and was just not going to do it. And then Justin did it for me. Thank you.
Yes. He also wants to know, is there truly no one better to judge the romantic chemistry of two musicians performing a duet together than SEC Network college football analyst Jordan Rogers?
This feels like a question that Doug wrote.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he might have to like go into the, you know, there's no sports to watch. So maybe he's like already trying to transition into like,
yeah, okay, I guess
now
so.
I'm a music credit. I've got this on my resume, you know.
So. Oh, that's funny.
Kayla Hussey, was Trevor and Jamie really that good? Were Brandon and Savannah really that bad? Who are they wanting the audience to root for in this Julia, Brandon, Savannah gate? I'm truly confused.
I didn't think Trevor and Jamie were that good. I thought mm-hmm. Jamie was pretty good. Yeah. I don't think Trevor's
similar to their Venice Beach thing. Like they were not like
quite in sync.
Yeah.
I don't think Jamie and Savannah. I didn't think Savannah was that bad.
Yeah, I also don't think they match up well musically. I think they want us rooting for Savannah for sure because she was like the voice of reason.
Yeah.
I think they just want us to like follow Julia into her madness. Then Josh Creek, but yeah, Brandon like does not seem like a great guy. Like I'm not rooting for him at all. Josh Creek says, since there were a couple of critiques about lack of eye contact with each other during performances, is this going to devolve into a staring contest? Okay, what we were talking about.
I think so. Very possible.
Yeah. Get those eye drops ready. Get ready for it. Albert Vargas, for those wondering where this is filmed, this season's house isn't the usual Bachelor Mansion. This is the Hummingbird Nest Ranch, seen in this season's Westworld and previously used in Entourage, SEAL Team, a bunch of other shows. It was where Shayna Shea of Vanderpump Rules got married. Oh, wow, this has been in a lot of... I bet no one even lives in this place. Just a ranch that they rent out.
Yeah. Okay. So I was really excited about the Vanderpump Rules thing.
Yeah. Interesting. So,
to your point earlier, it's like an event space. So I do think they would probably have somewhere on site that they could ranch, do some performances that
sound
like that.
They would have a barn type place. Cool.
Yeah, exactly.
So probably not somewhere because I was thinking like maybe they'll like transition to this place for the Bachelor, but yeah, probably a much like steeper price tag than just someone's home. And then Tova Atha, did it bother anyone else that Chris Lane and Lauren Bushnell Lane were constantly referred to as Chris Lane and his wife Lauren, or was it just me? Every time she was mentioned, she was called Chris's wife, and it really irked me.
Yeah, it's almost like she was on the show first. Like this was her show. Like I don't know.
Yeah,
it was a little weird.
That is strange. Or was that like something that they in the contract? Like she wanted to be like, I'm Chris's wife. Like this is, you know.
I mean, maybe
him first because like we don't want to reference Ben at all or something.
Maybe you
know? Who knows? Or they couldn't remember her name. Let's see, Emily Shearer.
I mean, they could have taken a wild stab in the dark and guessed a Lauren. Like there's 40 of them.
Exactly. Yeah, they could have just said Chris and Lauren Lane, but I guess he's a celeb. Like he goes by Chris Lane, Lauren Lane. I don't know. But yeah, it did stand out to me for sure. And then Emily Shearer, how much did the producers whisper in the judges' ears about the couples? Yeah, well, how does it work? Is it they're whispering in the ears or they have an earpiece or is it just like...
They're given a paper.
Like, all right, talk about their chemistry. It's one-sided or we're not going to lose these four. So it's between these two that you guys can choose from. And then Emily Shearer, which celebrity do you think Danny impersonates professionally? Was there anyone on the video that stood out as his best impression?
No, they were. I was honestly like a little embarrassed watching it. Like that's how I felt.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cartoons just aren't my thing. And he was impersonating a lot of cartoon people.
Yeah. And then some of them were like just a country singer or like it wasn't even a impression of anyone in particular. It was just okay, just an opera singer or whatever. So it's kind of like more an improv type game. So it's kind of fun. Like if you're at a live performance seeing that, you might be like, oh, that's kind of clever, but I can't see like wanting to go back and see all these YouTube videos of like kind of the same thing over and over. But in terms of like, I don't know who he would look like either, but he kind of has that like Jim Carrey type, like it seems kind of like a rubbery face that maybe he could do.
Yeah.
Yeah. As well. So that is it for questions. There was one story we forgot to talk about last week. I was patting myself on the back like, wow, I remembered off the top of my head all the stories that came out. But that Jordan and Jenna thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bachelor in Paradise. So I didn't listen to the podcast, but apparently she was on Reality Steve's podcast. And he essentially like cleared her name and they did this whole investigation that.
Yeah, he like apologized to her. He said he was sorry. He retracted everything, which is like doesn't feel like a totally Reality Steve move, but whatever.
Yeah.
And he talks about how he was catfished by, you know, this person impersonating like Jenna and her text. And it was all very weird.
Yeah. I can't imagine like her going through that, like knowing it was not true. But how do you like defend yourself?
Yeah,
because he has come up with so many things that are true, and then it just starts to make you look more guilty. And so yeah, that's crazy, but I'm glad that the truth came out.
Yeah.
And then another story this week was Claire Crawley tweeting out something like, I don't know, I don't have it up, but like basically shading guys from her season not being in it for the right reasons. And like, if you're getting a cameo account or if you're, you know, something else,
yeah,
then, you know, respect me, respect the process. It was kind of controversial, I guess, because I was on Claire's side. Like, yeah, like that makes sense.
Well, I guess it was directed at Matt James. And mm-hmm. Matt James is going to be on this because he's friends with Tyler.
Right.
And I guess that he was
doing it for charity.
Yeah, he was doing it for like his and Tyler's charity.
Mm-hmm.
So IDK.
Yeah. Maybe she's just like, yeah, she wasn't into
but
it.
But I
anyway.
Get how that looks to her.
Yeah, like, definitely. You know. I think she wants a fresh new cast. I'm kind of with her. Like, because it seems weird to like start the show if whenever it might be. But let's see. Yeah, I'm thinking she probably. Claire probably just wants a whole new cast at this point. Are you on the side of like she should have like 50-50, keep the same cast, get a whole new cast? It'll be, who knows if it's even happening, but
yeah, I'd say keep the guys over 30 and get rid of the guys under 30.
Right, that makes sense. Yeah, so well, remains to be seen. Mm-hmm. But next week looks like there'll be some more Sheridan drama, some Julia drama, hopefully. They're in it for a while because I don't think there's a lot of drama with other couples yet. So
yeah.
Where can people find you, Haley?
You can find me all over. If you want to hear more of my voice, I did talk to Kirsten McInnes twice last week.
Yes. About
Too Hot to Handle, which it was a really fun show. I had a great time watching it.
It was more fun to watch.
Yeah, it was really fun. I would recommend what we did was like watch two episodes per day.
Okay. So you stuck to it. Like,
yeah, that was like a good way to consume that kind of content. Mm-hmm. I feel like watching it all one day would have been too much. Mm-hmm. And then watching one per week would have been too, I don't know, whatever.
I definitely anyway, did the I, binge, but yeah, I think
yeah.
with like needing a little time to space things out, I think is good.
Yeah, we needed to give ourselves something to look forward to each day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I'm on the Top Chef podcast every week. Talking about yes. Top Chef, which is great. I have a great time doing that. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @hstrong_. And you can check out my blog, strongtakes.ca.
And you can find me on Twitter at @RHAPRecapper. Hope everyone is doing all right. And we are excited to talk to you again next week.